It is 25:04:19 at 06:08. This is a Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website is mbeinstitute.org. The topic of this prayer treatment is genocide. Treat to reverse. The definition of genocide from dictionary.com is the deliberate and systematic extermination of a national, racial, political, or cultural group. With a little research on how this term is applied, it refers to any group or entity that uses psychological or physical war to take control of and exterminate any group or entity that desires to be living in a life of freedom and sovereignty and not be suppressed or oppressed by any group or entity that are trying to force their will on them. In simple terms, America was founded on a constitution based on freedom, and it was founded by those who left European countries who had been suppressed and oppressed, whereby they did not have the ability to exercise freedom. The suppression and oppression were enforced via means that were anywhere from mild to tragic. Some of the more mild forms would be harassment, deprived of working and income resources, confiscation of assets to higher levels such as incarceration, exile, and termination of life. One country was populated from the prisoners from another country that controlled it. The most successful way that genocide is carried out has been to implant individuals and entities within a society that it desired to genocide. America has been the primary target of genocide since its founding because America stood for all of the things that nurture freedom, which are the antithesis of being controlled. Russia is another country that for many decades has been a target for the same reasons, in addition to the fact that it is the largest country on planet Earth and the country with by far the most natural resources. The individual who was elected in November of 2016 was truly a messenger from God. His primary mission has been and continues to be the eradication of corruption. He discovered that he was unable to do what he desired to do in the degree that he expected to be able to do it, and therefore purposely permitted a corrupt election to put into the limelight someone who was notably corrupt from day one. He did this so that he could work in the background, behind the curtain, under the shield of orders that he had put into place before he left office, whereby the military was in control of the U.S. Therefore, he controlled the prison that was utilized for military tribunals of corrupt individuals and the carrying out of the sentence, which in most cases has been termination of life. They have accumulated, in addition to those that they have executed, an additional 10,000 individuals that are known, and probably many more that are located in other areas that are not known. We have published information on this, but primarily desire that individuals go to the resources that we've uncovered and obtain the information on their own. The Director of National Intelligence has sent a team of hundreds of staff to various government agencies in order to examine documentation to uncover corruption. Just yesterday, there was a release of a large trove of discoveries, one of which was that the fake administration, which was in name the president from 2021 to 2025, January of each year, had published an order for the government and all agencies thereof to attack anyone that was a part of the group of people that wanted to be free and follow the U.S. Constitution as it was originally written before it was revised by corrupt government. That included everything from mild up to termination of life. Same kinds of things that were described earlier in this prayer treatment. The so-called pandemic is a prime example of one of the methods used for genocide. We now have evidence that the 1.4 billion population that is advertised by China is less than 1 billion and could be as low as 700 million. All of the information provided in this prayer treatment and in all of our prayer treatments can be verified through documentation. Mary Baker Eddy made it very clear that she followed Christ Jesus in that he uncovered evil and eradicated it. He not only exposed the money changers that were trying to profit from people who were attending services at a synagogue, but he overthrew their tables. When he was tempted by evil, he would simply say, "Get behind me, Satan." He did not yield to evil in any way, shape, or form. Mary Baker Eddy followed him to a T, and she named him the Wayshower, showing us the way to live godlike. Mary Baker Eddy gave us a very profound direction at the beginning of the textbook. There are three quotes that tell us the story. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John. 2. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Very simply, these three quotes tell us that we should be seeking the truth and understand it. If we do, we will be free from all that is opposed to the truth. The truth is represented as God and God-like activities. The second one, the science of right thinking, is what Christian Science is all about, because our experience is dependent upon how we are thinking. The third one tells us that we will be successful in a beautiful life if we follow the two previous quotes and what they mean in spiritual terms. What do I mean by a beautiful life? It means that we have the energy, enthusiasm, and ability to refute evil in every form, and therefore we affirm and live the life of spirituality, reflecting the spiritual qualities of God. The second profound thing she did was to give us the basis for what our life should be. And she does that in the definition of God. The first 13 chapters of Science and Health give us the details about how we should be living our life. And chapter 14 is a recapitulation of chapters 1 through 13. And in chapter 14, she begins with the definition of God. Why do you think she was led by God to do this? Because the majority of Christians, those who claim themselves to be Christians, do not have the foggiest notion of what God is. The most common answer is that Jesus is God. But how in the world could anyone think Jesus is God when he makes it very clear in a number of Bible references that he is not God? When he was asked by a Pharisee, "Good Master, how shall I obtain eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why call me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." Christians primarily think that Revelation is written by John. But where did John get the information? Jesus came back in the flesh and met with John on the island of Patmos and dictated it to John. The references are in the Bible. One of our authors, Robert C. Putnam, who is one of the finest Bible scholars, along with Mary Baker Eddy, has it all documented in his 10 Bible lessons, which are on our website. Take a look at Genesis chapter 1. What does it say? It begins by saying that in the beginning, Mary Baker Eddy translates that to mean in the only. In other words, creation is a revelation. It's not a creation. Anything that is true has always been true, no beginning and no end. And what's the first thing that it states happened? Light. That was way before the sun and the moon were created. Light is spiritual. It's not from a physical body. A physical body is only a symbol of the true source. And what does it say in verse 26? It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness." And then it says, God made man in our image and after our likeness. We have to let the concept of reality come into our consciousness before we can recognize it and see it. There's two steps involved all the way through the first chapter of Genesis. It's the same story. Genesis chapter 1 is divided into 7 days. Each day is the same story. And then what happens with Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 4? An entirely different story of what God did. Why? It tells us right off, "And there went up a mist." Do you think it's a true story if there's a mist that is concealing the truth? No, it is not. And not only that, look at the derivation of the word God. In the first chapter of Genesis, it has one source, and in the second, it has a different source. The first one, the real one, is Elohim. And the second one is Jehovah. They're opposites. People read, but they don't read. Look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. How many Christians have been taught to believe, they've been lied to, thinking that God creates storms, earthquakes, fires? Wind. Many destructive things they blame on God. If someone is in an accident and they pass on, they say, well, God took him. It was because of the providence of God. Do they think if someone is in a war, which all has a corrupt beginning, and they lose both arms and both legs, that that is a providence of God? One should read Habakkuk every day until they have their thought trained to accept the truth automatically and reject the error. Now that we know that Genesis 1 says God did all of these things, and of course the last part of it is in Genesis chapter 2, the first 3 verses, because that still covers God with the right derivation of Elohim. And God wraps the whole 7 days up with saying that everything is good. How many people know what the word good means? Look in chapter 17 of Science and Health. Mary Baker Eddy gives us the definition of good as it is used in the Bible. That chapter 17, which is the glossary, is so valuable. Science and Health is divided into two sections. It's Science and Health and Key to the Scriptures. The title says Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Science and Health is the first 14 chapters, which gives you the details about Christian Science. And chapters 15, 16, and 17 are the key to the Scriptures. Chapter 18, the final chapter of the textbook, which is a total of 700 pages, and 18 is 600 to 711 pages, and those are testimonies that Mary Baker Eddy selected from the public publications of the Christian Science Sentinel, a weekly, and the Christian Science Journal, a monthly publication. And she selected 85, and those 85 individuals had a total of 486 healings, so an average of just under 7 healings per individual. And those were selected out of thousands that have been published up until the time that she published her final edition of Science and Health in 1910. It is highly recommended that if one studies Science and Health, they study the last authorized edition by Mary Baker Eddy, which was published in 1910. Changes were made without her even being here to prevent it after 1910. So what does she say in recapitulation about God? The very first, it's a 24 question and answer format in the recapitulation chapter. And the very first question is the most important to understand first. And that is, what is God? Because Genesis 1 tells us everything is based on God. Even you and me, everything is based on God. All existence is based on God. People wonder, how did the world get created? How did the universe get created? It's all explained in the Bible. It's revealed in the Bible. The definition of God on page 465, chapter on recapitulation, is God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. In the glossary, which is in the Key to the Scriptures, she gives us this definition, which is emphasizing some of the particular qualities that are within those seven synonymous terms. She says, God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. And she gives us the definition of good on the same page, 587. Good, God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. That doesn't leave anything out. And she tells us what man is. Man, the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. Now, these definitions in the glossary are not intended to give us a full and comprehensive definition, for those are totally explored in the first 14 chapters of the textbook. There is not a single thing in the first chapter of Genesis through verse 3 of chapter 2, or in the textbook that gives even an inkling that we are born a sinner. And yet, what does Christianity teach? The false record of creation. Why? Because Christianity was doing so well after the ascension of Jesus, because they saw that, yeah, this is really true what he's been telling us. There is no death, and all sin, sickness, and disease can be overcome as well. And that was being so permeated throughout Christianity that by the time the year 325 AD came upon the calendar, the churches and the governments got together and said, we've got to do something. We're losing our audiences and the control over our population. So the churches and the governments of Europe got together and they made a very corrupt agreement called the Council of Nicaea, N-I-C-A-E-A. And the conclusion of that was that they defined who Jesus was. And they defined Jesus to be God. And what is the ornamentation that people use to define Jesus? A man hanging on a cross. All kinds of people, men, women, and children, wear jewelry with a cross. That is what they think of their God. Their God is somebody that was murdered. And that's how I'm going to remember him. And they try to make you believe that all of your sins are forgiven because Jesus was crucified. And yet they say you were born a sinner. There is no logic at all, even for someone who is just reading the words in what the normal Christianity individual believes. It's all backwards. It's all without spiritual facts. It's without even the material words being in the Bible, if you know how to read. If you read Habakkuk, how can you blame God for storms and earthquakes and fires and all kinds of things, accidents? How about the chemtrails? Is that the province of God that the chemicals are being sprayed over the population to genocide? Our president, to be very careful about how much truth to expose, because the human brain is geared to reject anything that is a major conflict with what it has believed. And ever since 325 AD up until 1866, when Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science, the human brain has believed that there is no such thing as truth that overcomes error, that good overcomes evil, but the other way around. Evil has power to overcome good. A storm can wipe out your entire life. But what does Shakespeare say? Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What does a winner do when they have a problem? They work harder. What does a sports team do when they have a success? If they've got a good coach, they don't celebrate. They accept it that they were following the principles and the rules that work. There is not a single highly successful individual that has not been knocked down and had to make a decision. What do I do now? If they're really successful, they're going to shake off the dust and they're going to see, did I do something wrong? How do I correct it? Is there a better way to do what I was doing? Why did this happen? They look for a solution and they solve the problem and they go up and forward. But that's a very tiny percent of the people. 99% are sheep. Sheep. They are followers. The Bible says tithe. It talks about a tenth part. Tithing means a tenth part. Were you a C student in school? Then a tenth part. But a tenth part is what? We describe in our various prayer treatments that we have many components in our life. Money is one. Food, shelter, and clothing. Transportation. A variety of things. We have 1,440 minutes every 24 hours. We have an unlimited number of moments because a moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. It's not defined in numbers, so it cannot be divided. It, by definition, is the smallest. It can be multiplied, but it can't be divided. How are we going to conduct our life? How many hours a day are we going to devote to making our life better than could ever have been dreamed that it could be? What does better mean? For purposes of Christian Science, it is defined as having the freedom of thought and actions. If you follow the activities that are similar to what Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy did. What did they do? There are seven terms that define God. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mind means anything to do with the mental. Spirit means anything to do with the substance. Soul means anything to do with how you identify. You know, we think of our senses as being sight, hearing, you know, feeling, smelling, and tasting. Principle is structure and system. Always has to be in balance. Always has to be harmonious. Life is the activity. Are we going to be dead? Are we going to be active? Are we going to be a couch potato? Are we going to be a leader? Truth is staying on the path. The path that leads to perfection. And love. What does love mean? Love means giving, giving, giving. It means living the life of giving. The golden rule. When Jesus was asked by another Pharisee, what is the greatest commandment of all? He asked him to try to trick him. But there's no one that's ever lived that could trick Jesus. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So what's the theme? One word. One word. L-O-V-E. And that's why it is the seventh one that is described in the first chapter of Genesis. Because you cannot love until you are utilizing the qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth. You've got to be thinking correctly. You've got to be realizing that your foundation is spiritual, not material. You've got to realize that your seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste is all spiritual. You've got to realize that principle involves every activity, and everything must be in balance and harmonious. And you have to bring everything to life. You have to live the qualities of God. You have to live the intelligence of mind and the substance of spirit and the identity of spiritual senses. You have to live it. You have to have a structure in your life. How many of you are proficient in time management? How about in knowing how to read? They don't even teach reading and writing and mathematics in school. They're totally bananas. That's why our president closed down the Department of Education. It's a department of dumbing down, is what they've been doing for the last many, many, many decades. Dumbing down the kids in school, making them as dumb as possible, as uneducated and ignorant as possible, and replacing good education with fake news, trying to confuse them with how many sexes are they trying to teach to children. Unbelievable. There should be one thing that they teach in school. One thing. What do you think it is? Mind. How to think. How to think. That's the only thing that's important. Information you can get easily. If you know how to think, you will be able to understand Christian Science, because it is a thinking man's religion. The best thinkers in the world have been Christian Scientists. Einstein. You know what Einstein said about Mary Baker Eddy and science and health? He said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. And he said that in the mid-1940s. She discovered Christian Science in 1866, and she published her first textbook in 1875. He was working all of his adult life on matter and relationships and space and time. She had it all figured out. It was already explained completely in the textbook 75 or 80 years before he realized it. He'd been working all of his life on it, and he was wrong. Because spirit is the only true substance. It's the only real substance. Forget matter. Frederick L. Rawson, one of the greatest Christian Science geniuses, said they used to teach in England. He's from London. He said they used to teach in England that there is no time. He was able to heal going back in time when the problem first occurred. Retroactive healing. He's on our website, Frederick L. Rawson, R-A-W-S-O-N. He wrote a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, where he covers 1,315 different ailments and how to heal each one of them. It is highly recommended you do not read the book from beginning to end, because why do you want to instill in your thought things that are not a problem? When my sisters and I attended school, we went to the same school for all, it was a 12-year school. Number one, all of us had perfect attendance every year. It had never happened that there was even a single student that had perfect attendance for the whole time in school. Not only did each of us have a perfect attendance, but the whole family had, because all of us had individually, all four of us, three sisters and myself, perfect attendance all the years in school. So they taught there was no time. We were exempted. The reason I brought up the school, we were exempted from attending health classes, because Christian Scientists don't believe in matter being a basis of their health. They don't believe that a physical body is the real individual. We understand that God is the source of man, as it states in Genesis chapter 1. And God made man in his image and after his likeness. And I read you the definition of God. Is there anything in there that is evil? Anything in there that is matter? How about page 468 of Science and Health? Again, in recapitulation. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. That must have blown Einstein right out of the water. What else did Einstein say? He said, "Blessed art thou," because everything that is in this book. Thou, he even capitalized it, capital T, thou, referring to Mary Baker Eddy. This book referred to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. For a physicist that spent his whole life studying matter, and for him to now admit, after 80 years, after it was discovered by Mary Baker Eddy, and his whole lifetime devoted to exploring matter and atoms and all that stuff, he admits that it was a waste of his time. All that is in this book. All that is right here. His friend, Dr. Underwood, was on the Atomic Energy Commission for the U.S. Everyone on that commission expired due to radiation. Dead. Except him. And Einstein asked his friend, Dr. Underwood, how is it that you lived and everybody else is gone? He said, I'm a student of Christian Science. So I said, I'm a student of Christian Science. That is when Einstein stopped dabbling around with Christian Science because he had heard about it. And he realized, boy, this must be really the truth. So he started attending churches and devoted his whole thought process to trying to transform it to what he now believed to be true, which was totally opposed to what his brain had been trained for his whole life. And that was a major, major, major operation to make that happen. He had to replace what he thought was his intelligence, which was a piece of matter, with something that he couldn't even touch. Of course, you don't touch your brain. You might touch your forehead or something. Wentworth Winslow, another one of our finest Christian Science practitioners, along with Frederick L. Rawson that was mentioned, Joel Goldsmith, another one. They all had 15-minute appointments. All three of those just mentioned. When the 15 minutes was over, the healing was done. That's it. The healing was finished. Complete. One time when Frederick L. Rawson was looking out the window with a friend called Spaulding, both of them are, of course, authors on our website, as well as everyone else that's mentioned. This was back around 1910 or so. So there were very, very few trucks. And there was a man with a cart that was pulling with an animal full of rocks. So he was driving the animal and he felt uneasy about something on the cart. So he stopped and he went back to examine the tailgate. While he was back there, something alarmed the animal, whatever it was, a mule or a horse or whatever. And he raised up and he dumped the whole load of rocks on top of the man, covered him up. When Frederick L. Rawson saw this, he said these few words, "There is nothing but God." As soon as he finished the last word of that short phrase, the man came up from underneath the rocks like a rocket, shot right out of there, not a scratch. He could have been dead, covered up with rocks with the force and the weight. Yep. The man had no effect from the accident at all. Total instantaneous healing. Wentworth Winslow, I started to say, he raised a boy from the dead. I wouldn't be surprised if Goldsmith did. I don't remember reading it in any of his writings, all of which are on our website. Bicknell Young raised himself from the dead. He drowned. The whole incident is covered on our website. So what do we think about when we've got a corrupt government that has put out an edict, a mandate for all of the agencies? This is the one before, the one that is in there now, the one that was in there on a stolen election for the period of 2021 to January 2025, put out a mandate for all of the government agencies to be persecuting anyone that was looking for freedom. And they said, do whatever you have to, including killing them, to get rid of them. The documents were just uncovered yesterday by our Director of National Intelligence. And they're still going into all the agencies, because they've only been in office since January. And they're still going in all of the agencies with their team of hundreds of people to go through all the documents. Some of them are hidden underground. There's a big storage facility underground. They call it the salt mine. And it's all being exposed. So what do you do as an individual? You can't wait for someone else to do something. You can't be a sheep. You got to be a leader of your own thought. How do we approach it? Well, we think about the first three introductory quotes to the textbook, you know, about truth and about our thinking from Shakespeare and the truth from Jesus. And Mary Baker Eddy says it's all going to come out fine if you do number one and two. So if you focus on understanding the truth and you realize your thinking is going to be your experience, all you got to do is connect the dots and you automatically have the healing. You can't just say the words, you have to live it. And remember, love means a life of giving. Giving. And don't just give money. Find out what the problem is and help them solve their problem. I've said this in many of the prayer treatments. A man came out of a department store, and I happen to know this is a fact, and he approached somebody who was getting in, you know, going to his vehicle, and he just got to his vehicle, and man came up to him and said, can I have some money? And the guy looked at him and, you know, he looked like he was in good health and capable and so forth. He didn't look like some beggar off the street. He looked like he might have been on his way to go to work. And he said, well, why do you want money? What do you need the money for? He said, I lost my job. I haven't eaten in 2 days. I don't even have money for the gas of my vehicle to go and look for another job. To make a long story short, the fellow hired him to come to his house and do repairs. He happened to be quite a handyman. He could do electrical, plumbing, electricity, or that's electrical, electrical, plumbing, carpentry. You know, he loved to figure out how to fix things. The man had accumulated a list for several months, and it took the repairman 3 months to fix everything, working full time. But it was a blessing to both people. He worked for a reasonable rate, and he was good at what he did. And by the time he was done, he then had another full-time job. I know another case where somebody came out of a grocery store, and there was somebody, a woman, that had a young gal in a wheelchair, and she had no control over any part of her body. And he went up to her and found out they didn't speak the same language. He gave him some money, and he left, thinking about, what can I do? He decided he could use the internet, and he printed 2 pages of Christian Science Thoughts in their language, and he delivered it to them. And then he thought, well, what more can I do? They seem to be, or the mother, the daughter was not able to express anything, had no control over anything. But the mother was very pleased. So he said, that's great. And he went back and asked her the next time that he was at the store, and yeah, she was very happy, very happy. So he said, what should I be doing here? He printed out everything in Science and Health up to the end of chapter 1, which are those 3 quotes, the preface, and chapter 1 on prayer. And he had it bound at the office supply store in a spiral binding. She was delighted. He went back several times. Every time he passes by, she is ear-to-ear smiles. And he makes a generous contribution to her. And she really values the book. Then it came to him to take some home-cooked food. If we have our thought open to helping others, the thoughts will come to us of what we can do to help. And the ideas will come from them on how they need help. If we're not cultivating a life of giving, then we are living a life of taking. It's one or the other. There is no mixture. There is no good and evil, and you become a gray. It's not black and white, and so you just don't know what to do, so you're gray. No. You got to be black or white. Either do something that is good, or the evil is what you're doing by not doing it. I've quoted the man who said that evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Sin, sickness, disease, and death triumph when we don't cultivate right thinking. Are we going to cultivate right thinking? Are we going to follow what Shakespeare gives us the clue about? Or are we going to be just a sheep and not do anything to help America become free? Because it starts with our own thinking. What would happen if you were out on the street? Mary Baker Eddy asked one of her students, if you're walking down the street and you see a stray dog or someone in a wheelchair or someone in need or you see an accident, what do you do? The fellow who was a Christian Science student didn't know what to say. He was silent. She said, are you a Christian Scientist? And then he knew what he should be doing. And he said, no, Mrs. Eddy, I'm not a Christian Scientist. He needed to be. He should have been. He knew how to be. But he wasn't. He didn't bring life to his understanding and use it. It was dormant. Dormant is the same as not doing it at all. Is a pianist if he's not performing? Can he be any good if he doesn't practice his hand and exercises every single day of his life? No. The first day, he knows that he's not up to speed. Second day, the critics know it. The third day, the audience knows it. How often do we need to practice giving? Every single day. While we're in our house, while we're in the kitchen preparing food or doing dishes, while we're walking out to the car, while we're shopping, while we're studying, all the time. They lived a life of giving. If we don't live a life of giving, we will not have healing. Period. End of story. And if we don't study many hours a day, we're not going to progress. Because we've been inundated with everything around us that has compounded lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. Mary Baker Eddy says that's what material life is. It's lie upon lie, compounded after compounding, years and years and years. We have to overcome that by developing a perfect model to hold in thought, and immediately, when there's any suggestion of something less than perfect, we have to take care of it. We have to address it. We have to deny that it has any power. We have to expose it. We have to heal it. The steps that Mary Baker Eddy says we have to take are exactly what Frederick L. Rawson proposes and that we propose in these prayer treatments. Number one, you dig to find out what is the evil that is involved. And you expose it. You don't just find out and then forget it. You expose it. You bring it to the surface. Just like Jesus did. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He overthrew the money changer tables. He didn't just sit there and say, "Well, you know, I'm going to be a good man. I know what I should do, but I'm not going to do it." That doesn't mean we take the law into our own hands, but we need to expose it. There's ways we can get information to the people that can do something about it. And now, finally, there's going to be something done about our judicial system, which is corrupt from one end to the other. We have everything on our website. We expose it all. I don't want to take time in this prayer treatment to do it, but you can look on the website under the topic of evil and you'll see what's going on. And we give prayer treatments on how to treat for it. So if we're going to treat for genocide, what are we going to think about our life? You can look in Science and Health under the topic of life. You can look on our prayer treatments on the topic of life. So if genocide is to cause death, we certainly want to know what life is all about. If it's to cause discord, we certainly want to know what principle is all about, because principle is the opposite. Principle is the opposite of chaos. If we're out of money and we don't have money to pay our rent or our home mortgage or taxes or whatever it is, maybe don't have money to put gas in our vehicle to get to work or whatever. First of all, we need to study how to be successful. We need to study time management. We need to study how to read. Because all these things are available, we have to know how to make goals and strive for them. And it should be a balanced life. However many people we have in our contacts, we need to cultivate them all in a spiritual way. If we have a family with four children, we got to make sure we take care of those four children. We got to make sure we take care of our wife or our husband, if we're the woman. Frederick L. Rawson says that our purpose in life is to make other people happy. That's cultivating a life of giving. Make other people happy. What would happen if everybody worked on making other people happy? There's a movie called Pay It Forward. By the way, every movie that is recommended, and we recommend movies frequently, you need to make sure you're seeking the spiritual message. I watched a murder mystery. I rarely do that, but somehow I was attracted to watch this murder mystery. And I noted how evil operates. How does evil operate? Another movie you should watch is with Johnny Cash. Murder in Willapa County, I think it is. It's in one of our treatments that I just did in the last few days. Willapa County, I think. Anyway, I watched that because Johnny Cash, I've never seen him in a bad movie. And a lot of messages in there, spiritual messages. It teaches you how evil operates. And that is very important to understand. Mary Baker Eddy gave us a complete chapter called Animal Magnetism Unmasked, Chapter 5. Very important. Very important chapter. You have to understand how evil operates. We have other treatments that are called Evil, How It Operates, or The Operations of Evil. Something like that is the title. Everything is indexed and alphabetized, so it's easy to find. In our treatments, we also have organized by date, so you can look at the most recent ones. So, in this movie about the murder mystery that I watched, there was a fellow that was a hitman, and there was a fellow that was a good man. And the good man was an ex-Marine that was in psychological warfare. And the other guy was a hitman, and he was also a man of psychology. And what does evil do? All you have to do is look at the fake news. What do the fake news do? They fabricate and then they repeat it. In other words, it's a lie that they repeat, repeat, repeat until your brain gets used to hearing it. The value of repetition is not only for the value of doing good things, such as Shakespeare tells us, but it also works on evil because it's the brain you're talking about. You're not talking about the real spiritual mind that is mentioned in the definition of God. Because you can't get to the divine until you perfect the human. So you have to do things in a practical manner, just like cultivating a life of giving. How can I be useful in helping that person solve their problem? You don't just sit in your house in the corner or in an isolated room and pray, and the house is on fire and you just keep on praying. No, you better get yourself out of there, and you can be talking while you're moving. But don't be just sitting there and ignoring the circumstance around you. You have to address the most immediate thing on a priority basis. So evil tells you the plan. They've promoted the plan about taking over America, about making everyone eat bugs and own nothing. It's been public information for a long time. That's their plan. Everybody is totally dependent upon the government. Nobody will have any assets. Evil has certain things they do. They fabricate and they repeat it, as I mentioned already. Anyone that is successful, they try to dig up some dirt on them. If they can't find it, they create it. And then they publish it. And then they publish it and they publicize with repetition. Whatever the truth is, it says the opposite. Whatever they are doing evil, they accuse the good people of doing. They try to actually reform the mind of the good people to think that they are evil. They try to turn a good mind into an evil mind. Good thoughts into evil thoughts. And what kind of media do they use? Everything. Look back in time to when you were very young, and you will think about how this and that changed. They use the movies. They use, radio and all the audio type things that don't have visual. They use billboards. They use music. They use language. They use the educational system. They use everything. They will make the worst stuff that you can imagine look attractive by having a beautiful woman and a well-dressed man there. I remember when they used to advertise, it's illegal to do now, but they used to advertise some things on television, and they always showed the most beautiful women and handsome men smoking. That's one thing they used to advertise on the TV that they don't do anymore. Yeah, they made it look like, boy, that's the thing to do. Huh. I tried it one time when I was about 12 years old. A neighbor had parents that smoked, and he managed to get some cigarettes from them, and man, I had one taste of that or one breath of that, and I didn't want to ever see it or think about it again. Wow. I wondered, how do people do that? That's terrible. That cured me before I ever got started. I've never had a desire to take an alcoholic drink. But some people have to do it and go through that experience until they realize that it's not good. So we have to be able to recognize that there's something going on. We have to know what freedom is. We should know what our original constitution is, which is not the one they're using now, because they changed it. But the original constitution was good. And we need to know what that is. And we need to fight to get it back. So we have to expose the evil. We have to recognize what is good and what is bad. And that's what sight is all about. Sight is the spiritual ability to discern the difference between one thing and another. And remember, evil tries to mock truth. So whatever truth is, evil tries to look just like it. And sometimes it's not easy to distinguish the difference. And size is something to be very careful about. Because evil that comes in a small size will then expand if you don't do anything about it. So in other words, the best time to resist evil is when it is first introduced, because that's when it has the least amount of influence. Evil can't do anything by itself. It has to have some activator that promotes it. That's why Wentworth Winslow gives you the example of a phone that is ringing off the hook, trying to suggest something that is ungodlike, and a radio that is tuned into station KOG for Kingdom of God that is doing nothing but announcing good. We have to focus on not the phone ringing. We have to deny that it has any power to influence us. And we have to focus on the good. Remember, repetition. Evil will triumph if we do nothing. Good will triumph if we do everything for good. Remember, moment has no mathematics attached to it. It's the smallest moment of time. And that's exactly what Mary Baker Eddy says is the difference many times between success and failure. How do you use your moments? Are you walking to the restroom? Are you walking to the drinking fountain? I'm thinking of somebody in an office environment. How about walking to your car? Or your transportation, whatever it is. Whatever it is. If you're getting a refreshment, what do you do with your breaks if you have breaks? They used to give you 15-minute breaks in an office environment. What do you do with it? How organized are you with your time? It's already mentioned you should be proficient in those things. Of time management, goal management, how to read, and never practice something wrongly. If you learn how to read correctly, you don't get sloppy. You have to use the principle every time you read. And the classic on that is Mortimer Adler, who was the primary chief editor of Encyclopedia Britannica for so many years. I think he was in there for 50 years or something. And remember, it's very hard to find out the truth in books because they change them all. The best dictionary is the Noah Webster 1828. And it's a large book and has a lot of words in there, but It is not the dictionary that is just says Webster on it or Merriam-Webster. Merriam Brothers bought the Webster estate after Noah Webster passed on just to get his name. And then they immediately changed the dictionary. The first one they put out was 1913. Immediately they changed it. So if you get a reprint, and it's also available in software, and the abridged version is available online for free, but if you want the whole thing, the complete unabridged edition, you can buy it in software or in a print edition. It's a large book. It's always been in a green binding. You should live with a dictionary every time you study. If you do nothing more than look up and learn every single word in the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, you will have an excellent vocabulary. She was ranked as number 2 only to Noah Webster for her vocabulary expertise and skills. So, Science and Health uses a very comprehensive vocabulary. I'll bet you don't know what the word great means. And I already said probably nobody knows what the word good means. And great. One of the most overused words in the vocabulary. It's better not to use the same word often. Nice, N-I-C-E. That is a very overused word. But great is a word that people don't even understand what it is. When Mary Baker Eddy gives us the definition of God and she says God is the great I am, you could study a day on those words. Great I am. Three words. If you spent 5 hours, you know, this practitioner told Richard Strain that came to him and he was at the end of his rope, and she said, or he said, I'm working 18 hours a day and I don't know what to do. Only have 6 hours to eat dinner and breakfast the next morning and sleep. And the rest of my time totally occupied. He says, what do I do? She said, how much are you studying? The practitioner that he went to. He said, I don't have time to study. She said, if you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to progress. She didn't say another word. I guess he came there thinking that he could hire her to solve his problem and he would just send her a check or something. Nope. The change had to take place in him. Every healing that a practitioner performs for somebody else, if that individual doesn't transform themselves, the healing is a waste. Because there will be another problem show up somewhere else. Because they didn't change the thing that caused the problem. It is always within ourselves, whether we're conscious of it or not. Whether it is a universal belief or an individual estimation of what truth is. That is false. It doesn't matter. If you don't transform yourself, you're not going to have a future that is going to be really unique. And you need that. Everyone needs that. You need to practice being spiritual in everything you do all the time. Because there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. So if you're going to focus on matter, you're not going to go anywhere. It's going to be a waste of your life. Do you want to be a waste of your life or do you want to go somewhere of value? Do you want to be a value to society, to America? You want to be a value to establishing our freedom, restoring it to what it was meant to be 200 years ago? Or whatever, what, 250? If you don't do something, don't expect anyone else to do it for you. There's no practitioner that's going to solve your problem. In fact, most of them don't even know how to heal anymore. If you find a good one, you let us know. Because we have people that ask us all the time. That's the reason we are posting these prayer treatments. Because we had requests of people that wanted us to take their case. We can't do that. Are you kidding me?
Huh.
We do that by teaching the people that listen to the instructions that are in these treatments and follow them. And everything is based on the Bible and Mary Baker Eddy's writings and the writings of these advanced students. So if you want to really progress, that's what you've got to do. So Richard Strain, you know, when the woman wouldn't say anything, he finally decided that he didn't have a choice. He didn't know how he was going to do it because I'd only leave him 1 hour to sleep and eat and whatever he needed to do, shower and whatever. 1 hour to do it all if he's going to spend 5 hours. So he made the commitment to do it, not knowing any idea how he was going to do it. He realized he had to do it. It was life and death decision. So he did it, and by the end of the week, he was in a lot better shape than he was when he went there to see her. He was able to spend more time studying without going to work with only 1 hour of sleep. And he started the very first day, 5 hours of study. And sometime later, he ended up being a very popular speaker at the churches. He had advanced so much. We can totally reverse the activities of those who are, which is really evil. It's not really people. We need to get individualities and persons out of our thought and only think about the ideas. And we can defeat the genocide. We can defeat the pandemic, the next one they're trying to release. All this stuff. It's all evil. It has one name, E-V-I-L. And what is devil? Devil is an evil with a D in front of it. It's like the evil, you know, like the, T-H-E, evil, is the devil. We can defeat genocide by thinking about what is God, what is man, how do I practice it? Am I intelligently doing everything I'm doing? Because you have to apply intelligence to everything. Am I loving intelligently? Is this principle an expression of love? You know, love means you're nurturing. Am I nurturing everything to make sure the principle is what I'm following? Am I intelligent in the way I'm identifying something, which is soul? Am I looking intelligently at what I'm looking at? How about your other things? You know what hearing is? Look up the word hearing. You'll find it is understanding. Rarely does anyone know what hearing means. I mean, the words that we take as what we think are routine, and we're making an assumption on what they mean. This is the difference on whether you're going to be successful or not. Because if you're not using the right vocabulary and you're not understanding the vocabulary you're using, you're not going to get anywhere. It's like trying to heal yourself without being a giver, being a taker. Being a misunderstander is the same problem. You don't get anywhere. You need to do word studies. You need to do all these things we've been discussing here in this prayer treatment. And then you can individually demonstrate the defeat of genocide, and you can be an example that your example can shine. And if everyone does that, there is no genocide. There is no war. There is no accident. There is no storm or earthquake or fire. It can all be eradicated If we individually eradicate it from within our own thought, speech, and action. Think of TSA, thought, speech, and action. What am I thinking about? What am I talking about? Because whatever you talk about, you're feeding back into your own thoughts. And what am I doing? Am I loving in everything I do? Am I intelligent in everything I do? Am I active in everything I do? You utilize the seven synonyms because everything in the dictionary can be condensed down to the definition of God. Everything. And the four operators. Math has the digits of 0 through 9, which is 10 digits, and it has four operators that are the basic ones of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Well, the system of divine metaphysics, which Mary Baker Eddy has delivered to us, she says on page 146 that divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. And on page 330, she says there are 32 planks to the platform. And she says, if you understand these 32 planks, you will be able to demonstrate divine metaphysics, which means we can heal any problem that comes up, period. She says that right there on page 330 and what I said on page 146. Okay, so you know about the seven synonymous terms of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. And there are four operators for the system of divine metaphysics, which is another name for Christian Science. The operators are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And Jesus refers to it in the book of Revelation that he dictated to John, calls it the city four square, the city of God, north, east, south, and west. The first one is the Word. That's the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's everything about God. And we got to make sure we understand the difference between the good God and the bad God. The bad God is the false one, the one that we're describing when after the mist goes up. That one is a false God. It's not the real God. Every truth has a reverse, and that's the reverse of the truth God. The real God is in Genesis chapter 1, Elohim, not Jehovah. Okay? So the Word of God is everything about God, the truth about God. You know, remember Habakkuk, God is of purer eyes than to behold evil, right? Okay, number two is the Christ. That is tantamount to the east, okay? That is when the sun comes up. And what does that represent? It represents translating, like Jesus did, from the material to the spiritual. When he saw somebody that was blind, he didn't see them as blind. When he saw somebody that was dead, he didn't see them as dead. He said about Tabitha, she sleepeth. And what did he do about Lazarus? Death wasn't a problem. Okay? So, translating it. If we see that we have a problem or someone else has a problem, we need to immediately think about the spiritual individuality, not what is physically apparent. Okay? It's all in how we think. It's Shakespeare. Think about Shakespeare. All right? The third one is Christianity. Christianity is knowing that you understand God, and it's changing the spiritual, the material view to the spiritual reality. It's changing a false belief to the truth. That's what the Christ is. And Jesus was a perfect example of the Christ. That's why he is named the Christ. It's the perfect thought. Okay? And Christianity is what Jesus did. He healed. He healed because he knew what God was about, and he knew how to look perfectly by changing the thought from a material to a spiritual. And that is Christianity, which brings about the healing. It's proving that you understand the first two. And science is automatically living the life of giving and the perfect image and likeness that is described in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Okay? So that is the science. It is automatically interpreting, so that you are automatically living the perfect image and likeness of God. You are being it. You are being it. What is reality? Reality is God, which includes, it's not and his manifestation, it includes his manifestation. Ashkenazi, Vladimir Ashkenazi, one of the greatest pianists of all time. He was Russian, and he was asked, how can he play so perfectly? There was no one that was ever asked that question that we know of. But he performed with such perfection that he was considered the ultimate example of superior as a perfectionist in his performance. And he says, I practice, practice, practice. You know, he was Russian, so he had a he had a little bit of an accent. He says, I practice, practice, practice until the music plays me. Think about that. Contemplate that. That's what we should be doing with everything we do. We should attain the perfection so that it is doing it to us, through us, that we are a perfect reflection of the perfect God. There was a high school coach of a girls' running team that ran the 400 meter. She trained, they were the worst team in the league. This was high school. She trained, and she was just hired to turn it around. She trained them to not even look at anyone else on the track except in front of them, so they didn't run into them. And of course, when you run track, you have lanes you're supposed to stay in. And she trained them to run their race, not someone else's race. Look at what you are doing. Listen to what you are doing. You know, your footsteps, you will understand the pace. You will hear the pace mentally. Run your race. And in practice, if they didn't come in right on the framework that they were required to do, she would send them around again. Again and again and again. She didn't care whether it was raining, snowing, what the weather was. It had nothing to do with anything. Okay? They had one responsibility, to run their race in the time that she specified. You don't start out fast and then you end up slow, worn out. You don't start out slow and then come in fast at the end. No. As soon as you get off the starting block, you immediately establish your pace. Right out of the starting block, you immediately establish your pace and you keep the same pace. Don't ever look behind you or to the left or the right, only in front of you. That's the only thing you do. The only thing you think about is perfection. You don't think about anyone else on the track or whatever. That's not your business. Mary Baker Eddy says, if we take care of our business, we don't have time to worry about someone else's business. And the Bible says, don't worry about time. It says, one day's trouble is enough for one day. And trouble means you're overcoming the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. Focus on yourself, your day, And yourself includes being a life of giving, not a life of worrying or putting your nose in someone else's business. It is a life of giving to others. That is part of you. You take care of your business, and a big part of your business is giving to others. So that's how she trained him. And then the beautiful thing about this is that she stayed there. They finally made their way up to be in the finals for the state championship. And they were at the meet for the finals. And so she stayed there and reminded them to run their race and do it exactly like they trained. And don't even think about winning or losing or anything else. That's the only thing you think about is doing what you were trained to do and what you did many, many times in practice. So she got them started and they ended up winning. And they started out being the worst team in the league. No one could believe that they would be the winners. So they looked around for the coach to celebrate. She was gone. She was gone. She wasn't there to get something back. She wasn't there to be told how great she was and that they apologized, the parents apologized for criticizing her because she didn't win the first meet. You know, she got criticism all the way through. Just like Mary Baker Eddy, just like Christ Jesus. Einstein didn't have any friends. People at the top don't have friends. Because people are either envious or jealous, or they're confused, or they won't accept what you, what great thing that you did, or great things that you were doing. No, it's not people all around you when you're successful. Unless they're people that are just trying to mooch off of you. Nope. They're either envious or resentful or whatever. Because that's how evil works. Okay? That's how evil works. So that's what you've got to do. Run your own race. Do your own studying. Have your own schedule. Have your own goals. Know how to read your book and listen to your MP3s and everything else correctly. Always striving for one thing, perfection, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, perfection. And remember, the key point is love, 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 in an impersonal, spiritual way. Love, love, love. Remember, that's what Christ Jesus stood for. That's what Mary Baker Eddy stood for. And any successful businessman is nurturing the things that are deficient to bring him up to the perfection standard. Doesn't matter what you are. You're a homemaker, you're a teacher, ditch digger, rocket scientist. Doesn't matter. What do you think the wealthiest man in the world strives for? He's running the DOGE department, Department of Government Efficiency. What do you think he strives for in everything he does? Does he worry about what anyone else is doing? Does he worry about what people think of him? He's responsible for himself. He strives for perfection. He put a rocket in space and brought it back and landed it in the landing pad. That's never been done before. Never, ever. He knew the government had to be cleaned up and he volunteered. And one of the greatest things our president did was to put him in charge of it. And gave him a lot of authority. They're uncovering billions and billions and billions of dollars. I would expect there to be probably somewhere around 30 or more trillion that is uncovered. Yeah, trillion. There should be no income taxes at all. We don't need income taxes. Why would we tax? It's not in the Constitution. There's no authority in the Constitution to have an income tax. None whatsoever. Okay, so you know how to fix genocide. You think about the opposite of every part of genocide. I told you how evil operates. Reverse every single trait of evil. Reverse it. If you see good, then you reflect it. If you see evil, you flip it. The good and the bad gardener. Two gardeners living next to each other. Both of them had lovely estates. And one gardener was an excellent gardener. Really perfection. Just the finest gardener you could imagine. And the other gardener was not very good at all. So he would steal plants from the first one. The good gardener would have his plants stolen. So he was constantly replacing the holes in the ground that the other one would leave. So one day he went out there and he had a visitor that wanted to see his garden because he had a reputation for his garden. So they went out there and sure enough, there was a hole, no plant there. And the guy asked him, he said, "Did it get too late last night to take care of this? Get your plant planted?" He said, "No," he says, my neighbor has that plant." He said, "My best friend." He said, "Well, why do you call him your best friend?" "Because he reminds me of what I don't want to be like." He turns a lemonade into a lemon. I turn a lemon into a lemonade. He's my best friend. Whenever we see something evil, we've got to think of it as our best friend because we need to remind ourselves to flip it and to see the truth about what really is real. Not the lie, which is the evil, but it's a reminder for us to revert, translate, just like Jesus. He saw death, he said, "No, she sleepeth." When the Bible says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," you don't forgive the evil. You don't condemn it in the beginning. You don't condemn the person in the beginning. You condemn the evil. I'm going to close with a prayer treatment that was written by Mary Baker Eddy. She wrote 7 of them, and she presented them to her class of 1898. Everyone in that class of 1898, that was the Metaphysical College, and that was the final class, everyone earned a CSD for Doctorate of Christian Science degree. And each one that was there was personally invited by her to attend. And they all were required after the third day to go out and heal somebody before they came back to the class. And everyone did. The whole class. We have the notes from that entire, that are a summary of all of the classes that she taught. And they're available. And we can tell you how to get them. Send us a communication. We have a contact form. And we will call you. If you are on Telegram, if you're not on Telegram, then it's a free service. You can sign up by going to telegram.org and then send us through our message system because it is secure and encrypted. Your name, first and last name, and your telephone number that you use for your registration with Telegram. Now, we don't care what it is. A lot of people use a pen name because they don't want their real name to be out there in the public. And that's very wise on the internet. So, whatever first and last name you use and the phone number is up to you. But it has to be what it is, because we will then add you as a contact. And if it's not exactly correct, then you cannot be added as a contact because it won't work. And then we will send you a message to let you know that you've been added to the contact list. And then you can communicate by voice. We can have a personal phone call through Telegram, or we can have text messages if they're short, and we can transfer files back and forth. If there's a particular link that I think you would be interested in, I will send it to you. So anyway, that we communicate through Telegram because of the reasons just mentioned. And we will help you if you're new and want to get started. We will help you we'll give you a jump start to do it. And we're interested in nurturing the people that want to be serious or are already serious and want to advance. We've all been in Christian Science all of our lives and have depended on nothing but Christian Science for our health for all of our lives. So we have confidence that it works because it's worked for us. And if you need any confidence building to get you started, read those last 101 pages of Science and Health, pages 600 to 700, with the 86 different testimonies regarding 486 healings. I am totally grateful for everyone I've learned from, all of the key characters in the Bible, and Mary Baker Eddy, and the advanced students of Christian Science, everyone I've had contact with that I've learned from, grateful for the practitioners that have been out there with a motive of helping humanity, and everyone else that has been living a life of giving. It seems like I am just getting started, even though I've studied my whole life. But I'm going to keep charging, seeking to be on the path of infinite progress, working toward concrete being. Here is the treatment for the diapason of heaven for life, because life is the opposite of genocide. Life is holy. We must hallow this word, for it is a sacred name for God. Declare often, there is only one life, and that is God. There is no personal life. My life is God, an infinite, incorporeal, all-encompassing, all-present, all-active, everlasting life. Declare that God, good, is the only life of man and the universe. Life is divine. Divine life is my God, and my God is life. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. This is the Word of God. Declare all the truths about life. Claim this revealed life as yours. All of life is right where you are right now. Amen.